It was just such a wonderful blessing to be a part of having so many opportunities to experience the divine in so many different perspectives. And although it appears sometimes that things happen that are difficult to experience and they seem to be a struggle and they even feel painful inside, the end result is always, as I have seen, if I am willing and being in a receptive state, open to see what it is that's being taught to me, and even closer to the truth, being what it is that I am experiencing as the truth. And the truth, as I will get into in this conversation here today, around beliefs and the ideas that we have, I'm getting kind of in and out, aren't I? I'm going to do it again. There, see if that works. Maybe if I just stand still. It's not possible. So I was looking at what I was going to do, and I feel so honored to have been called and asked to speak. And for the last 3 years, 3.5 years, I have done no public speaking. This is the first public speaking I've done. And there's been a reason for that, as I'll share a little bit with you about that. We had a substantial loss in our family, and my son died, and his name is Journey. And in the process of looking at giving and sharing today, I asked a question, as I always do. Well, what would be optimal to share? And what I'm going to ask all of you today, if you would join with me in intention, with an intention. And that intention would be, if you just take a moment and close your eyes, and just imagine if you were able to receive that pearl, that beautiful pearl of wisdom from the divine, and it could be offered through my voice, through the sounds in my resonant frequencies that I'm able to share here today. And I would ask that you would hold that in your heart and your mind and listen from the perspective that you will hear something that will completely transform your entire life. And breathe into that and feel it. Allow it to expand in you. And I am intentionally joining with you in that experience. And you can open your eyes if you haven't. You can keep them closed if you like. I'm all about having a really good time. That's what I think this is all about, being in this body. So I like to look at the word that I'm given to get an idea of what I'm going to be talking about. And so belief is a psychological state in which an individual holds a proposition or premise to be true, with or without empirical evidence that something, which happens to be what we believe, is the case with factual certainty. And more simply, in very much alignment, Esther Hicks, Abraham, most of you I'm sure are aware of who Esther Hicks is and Abraham, defines belief as a thought we think over and over again. So what are beliefs? What are we doing with our beliefs? I would suggest, and I was here with Michael in his experience, and I listened to some of the things he was sharing. He talked at Unity, and I got this word, and he said, "Oh, you're going to talk about the belief system, the BS. And I said, "Well, yes, but that won't be my lead-in." So in the conversation, I was also inspired to look at Lesson 189 in the Course of Miracles. And it addresses a lot in this lesson. It's profound. And I'm going to read a few paragraphs just to get an encapsulation. And the music is just spot on. Everything that's taking place today is guided and inspired and synchronous. As a matter of fact, every single moment in time, every single experience that we have is guided, is inspired directly by the divine. And it's up to us to accept that in the moment we're experiencing whatever it is. This is from Lesson 189. I feel the love of God within me now. said, the world of hatred, equally unseen and inconceivable to those who feel God's love in them. Their world reflects the quietness and peace that shines in them. The gentleness and innocence they see surrounding them. The joy with which they look out from the endless wells of joy within. What they have felt in them, they look upon and see its sure reflection everywhere. Now, wait a minute. It sounds really good, doesn't it? Then a hurricane hits your home. Cancel the thought. But it may have affected many of you, your families, or something that took place. And did we, and were we able to? That's the key question. Based on the belief structure that I have, based on the belief structure that you have, were you able to look at that as a gift? And if you were, then I would suggest you're being in alignment with the source that created you. Because the source judges nothing. Yeshua, in his brilliance, said, judge not, lest ye be judged by the same merit through which you judge. What would you see? The choice is given you. But learn and do not let your mind forget this law of seeing. There's such a thing as regulatory speech. It's one of the things the courses has a challenge with. So some of the words I adjust a little bit, but it's a little bit cumbersome. And what it would be, it says, you will look upon that which you feel within. If hatred, and you can add any judgment you want to put in this sentence. If hatred finds a place within your heart and mind, you will perceive a fearful world held cruelly in death's sharp-pointed, bony fingers. If you feel the love of God within you, you will look out on a world of mercy and love. Now, how can we do that and see mercy and love when it is being experienced painfully by the individual or groups or ourselves? Truly the challenge. We must have a belief system that is in alignment with that source that created us, in alignment with the pure essence of love that we are. Today, which is every instant, I suggest, we pass illusions as we seek to reach what is true in us. Interesting how the Course always turns it back around and says, oh, by the way, it's an inside ball game. So look inside. When you see something outside that you put a judgment on, plus or minus, you make it greater than or less than, realize there's something you're hiding from yourself. Pause, take a breath, and ask, what am I hiding from myself? And put your gaze back inward. Today we pass illusions as we seek to reach to what is true in us and feel its all-embracing tenderness. Its love, which knows us perfect as itself. Its sight, which is the gift its love bestows upon us. We learn the way today. It is as sure as love itself, to which it carries us. For its simplicity avoids the snares and the foolish convolutions of the world's apparent reasoning, but serve to hide. Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. This is directly referencing beliefs. All concepts you have learned about the world, and I would add, in addition, all images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, good or bad, and I'll add right or wrong, of every thought it judges worthy or unworthy. and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world. Forget this course. Forget your judgments of the past. I'm paraphrasing, adding a little bit. And come with wholly empty hands unto your God. That is just awesome. Most of you know, I've gone into somewhat of a sabbatical. I'm in the process of building two companies, co-founder, Ruka Group, and another company, which I'm going to introduce here shortly. And in January 27th, 2013, after about 4 years of struggle with mental health challenges, and I'm really going to encourage everybody to breathe, because it's really about healing. It's about seeing the contrast in the world so that I can recognize what I truly am inspired and desire in my heart. So after 4 years of challenge, my son, who was a brilliant, Journey Shea is his name, brilliant young man, an honor student at the University of Michigan studying economics. And he basically was attacked by a group, a gang, coming home from a party. And he was beat up severely. He may have sustained some head injuries that we don't know, because we never could determine anything. And he definitely sustained some deep, deep levels of wounds in his mind, in his heart, in his body. Nice breath. This is where we all breathe together. And we got a call from the University of Michigan. This is the first time I've actually publicly shared this. And we got a call from the University of Michigan and said, your son's in the hospital, would you come down and see him? And that set in motion the next 4 years. He was in and out of the hospital for 9 different occasions, and the mental hospitals, conventional. Although we weren't very conventional, those of you who know me over the history know that I'm very unconventional in my thinking and my ideas about how healing works and such. And we just didn't have the resources to really provide what is necessary for him to have a full recovery. And so we did the best we could. And, you know, we were his parents. We are his parents. And so it was difficult. You know, you don't go to your mom and dad when you're having a big troubles, right? Of course you do. We all do that. We go and say we want to hear their wisdom and hear what everything. We might at this later age in our lives, but not when we're younger, in our 20s. We think we know everything. And Journey also felt that way, but he was having trouble navigating, like anyone who is struggling with a mental health challenge. And sadly, within the realm of loss, within the realm of my heart, I desire my son to still be in a physical body, but he's not. And at the end of his life, I spent the day with him on Saturday, at the end of his physical life. I spent the day with him Saturday, and I had a belief that he was going to be okay, that he was going to be okay. I knew he was going to be okay. And I spent the day with him, and I finally, after 20 some odd years, surrendered to the experience of being with my son. I think he was 25. Sometimes I get that a little mixed up on the dates. And to be with my son fully experiencing him as he was. He talked about Mrs. Stick Lady and her husband and the Stick children, and he talked about all these different dimensional things that he was confused about, and he said, Dad, I'm so sorry I didn't become a race car driver. I looked at him with my heart wide open and said, Son, I don't remember ever desiring you to be a race car driver. And then we just moved on. But he was having such difficulty. But what happened for me was a transformation in that moment. I surrendered to allow him to be whoever he was. And at this time, he was a person who was having difficulty navigating his enlightenment. Not his mental illness. And what took place was, I was at the Unity service. Some of you may have been there the next day. And I saw my wife after I came out of the service. They were very polite enough to wait until the end of the service. And that's when they told me, with the priest and the police officer, that Journey had died. And what he did in his confusion and the distortions that he was experiencing, because we weren't able to give him the resources, we didn't have them, we searched, we looked, we did tremendous research, and it just wasn't as available as it is today, but it was not available in any one place at all. So Journey basically, with five different medications at that time, and had been, much to our chagrin, we didn't know this, had been experimenting with levitation. Decided he was going to levitate off a six-story building, the parking ramp in East Lansing. And as you know, it didn't go so well. Now, the plus side, there's many plus sides, but the negative side of it was that he died. For us, it was the negative side. It's painful. And I can speak to you with genuine, authentic love and appreciation for what has transpired in my life because of the tools that I've used, because of the tools many of you know, the tools of true forgiveness, the tools of tapping, the tools of breathing, the tools of seeing what is there for me to experience so that I can learn what is the next step, so I can expand more. Because that's the natural way the universe exists. It's a continually expanding universe, becoming more. So when I was told that he had stepped off this building, I did a little research. Obviously, it was very difficult and very traumatic for our entire family. And when Journey, I was in those moments, it was obviously very difficult. And what I did is I asked. I at first, I was a little angry and hurt, and a whole mix of different emotions, as any of you that are parents, and whether you're a parent or not, you could understand. But one point I asked, I was in the kitchen, and I asked God. It was one of those, quoted as, come to Jesus meetings. It was a come to God meeting, and I was really upset. And I said, look, God, what happened? And I added a couple adjectives I won't say. And I said, what is going on here? Mitzi, my sweetheart and bride, had her sister, both sisters had died, her niece, her grandma, her aunt, and now her son, all within a two-year period. It's like, man, that's a lot, right? I mean, you can feel that. You know, we have challenges, right? Things happen. And so I asked God, I says, okay, so what the is going on here? Why is this happening? And to that point, probably the clearest I'd ever heard that voice of God speaking to me. And the answer was kind of strange. It said, because you can. Now, my next response was, because I can what? And the voice said, because you can embrace it with love and change it for all of creation. Might have to breathe a little bit on that one. And I said, oh, okay. Now you might think this is a special event, this is something unique. It's not unique. This is what each and every one of us are called to do. Every instant that anything that comes into my experience, that comes into my field in any way, shape, or form, I have the opportunity and the blessings to embrace it with my love, the love of God, the love of beingness. And thank God I had the tools. When that was given to me as a gift in that moment in my kitchen, this is only 2 days after my son had died, I was also told very clearly by Journey firsthand. I would be able to calm my mind and be peaceful, and then I could communicate with him. And then I would feel upset and sad and struggling with the pain that I was experiencing in my heart. And he would say to me, as best he could, "I can't hang out with you in this, Dad. It's not who I am. It's not who you are." So I said, "Okay." I was highly motivated to let go of my pain, to move my focus from the struggle and the pain and the confusion and the fear that I was experiencing and the judgments and all the array of things that I had accumulated my entire life and generations. But what it did say to me was very clearly, your beliefs that are out of alignment with Source are not working for you. Because they're keeping the truth from you. You are hiding it from yourself because what the truth will reveal to you about me. Not about Journey, not about my family, not about any of you, but me, what I was hiding from myself. So I opened my heart and said, "Well, if that's what I'm here to do, and that is to be a change in the world, then I am willing. I willingly show up as love. I willingly allow the love of God to inspire me and teach me so that I can share that love of God, that beingness, the very essence of who you are and who I am, and join with that." So, amongst the multitude of blessings that I have had bestowed upon me, upon my son leaving this earth plane, the physical, and joining the non-physical, I actually, and it may sound very obscure, but I'm actually closer to my son now than I was when he was alive in a body. And it's not necessarily limit. Here's what it comes down to. It's I have limited my experience of my son or any of you in relationship because of the content of my mind and body, and that I have aligned with something that's in an illusory state, something that's out of alignment with pure love. And in that alignment, I have missed the amazing relationship that I have as an opportunity with you. People ask, "How you doing?" I say, "I'm doing fantastic." Almost all the time I say that. There are moments when I don't, but most of the time now I say, "I'm doing wonderful, excellent. It's fantastic. It's another day in paradise." And you know how I define paradise? Very simply, I define it, imagine a place and be really excited about it because it's like happening. Imagine a place where you can think thoughts, you can feel feelings, and then it shows up in your world. In living color, in Dolby sound, and with all the sounds that go along with it. And the only thing that limits your experience of it is your thoughts and your feelings inside you. So what came out of this experience, one of the many blessings, is that we testing. It was actually off or out. As a group being my wife, my sweetheart, and my daughter Brea, Journey's sister, decided to make a difference in the world. And how we decided to make a difference was to introduce a company that was, and I would like to just briefly share with you the what our company represents. And by the way, we were given a gift of the name, and it wasn't used, which was quite a surprise. And it's called Journey's Dream. Our mission is to connect those touched by mental health challenges and with programs and resources that support renewed hope and well-being. One of the first things that happens, and I know everyone in this room at some point in their life, they have felt like it was hopeless, or they felt helpless. And that's at the foundation of what takes place in people's lives. Journey was very confused. He took his life. But if those of you that are athletes, when you land on your feet after you jump six stories, you weren't trying to die. It's called stick the jump in athletics. And the first responder said to me, two responders, one was a lady, she said, he looked at her. He was still conscious on the ground. He looked at her and said, I just need somebody to help me up. Now he was obviously in shock. And then when the police officer showed up, he said, and I quote, he couldn't have jumped from six stories because the damage in his body did not reflect that. He must have only jumped from the second story. And when he first got there, Journey said to him, at first he was conscious with him, and then he started fading, and he said, my blood pressure is rising. Please do something about it. So we decided to take the experience we've had and create something that was going to build and give tremendous benefit to the world. And since we made that intention, the people that have come together have been beyond incredible and amazing. We have partners in California. We have people stepping up that said this is their life calling. And they were met through obscure ways that they learned about what we were doing. Our vision is this, and this applies to all people. All people are empowered to achieve and sustain optimal health, joy, and well-being. All people, everyone, have the opportunity to experience joy, health, and well-being. And having the resources at their fingertips is what Journey Dreams is all about. We have our first event that we're excited about at Soldier Field in Chicago, football stadium. Pretty big event for the first inaugural. We've got Frank Shankowitz from Make-A-Wish Foundation that has said, and I quote, I love what you're doing and I will do everything I can within my resources to support your organization. He'll be there to speak. And I share this with you, and I am talking about an organization, but I'm more talking about what is that which we represent. It's an organization, and there's two, Ruka Group and Journey's Dream. Both represent principles that you live and function within every day. And we're bringing those to corporate world. We're bringing those to those that have been afflicted with mental health challenges. And that resource bowl, as we develop it, because it's at the infancy right now, as we develop it, you will be able to go to this website. And we also have a Journey's Dream page on Facebook. And what you will be able to do, you will be able to go to it and find resources that you or someone you know that has been touched by a mental health challenge can get the benefits that is available in the world. You at one point as our development goes, you will be able to put in your zip code and find wherever you live. You will get the doctors, you will get the people, you will get the massage therapists, you will get the healers, you will have access to whomever and whatever it is that you can learn to navigate and be guided to navigate through your enlightenment process. What we have missed the boat on is that all of us, every instant of every day, are going through an enlightenment process. There really isn't anything else to do. That's it. You want to know what I think is the most important aspect of that? My humble opinion is we all have the ability to be in alignment with Source in every moment. You felt it. You still feel it. And if you're breathing through whatever might have been stirred up by this sharing, and you're letting go of any judgments, any of your own experiences of loss, And you're able to move into the space of the joy and the beingness that you truly represent, that I truly represent, that Journey truly represents. And his death has created, and his life has created to make a difference. If you have a belief in you, I don't care what it's about. If it's about God, if it's about reincarnation, if it's about this or if it's about that, if it's about that religion, that person, that thing, this or that, it doesn't matter what it is. Broad stroke. Take the belief and let it go. Because it's not serving your enlightenment. It's not serving your highest good. It's limiting and hindering you from being what you are designed to be. It's limiting and hindering your ability to function as that God being that you are. A representation of Source in form. That's our job. To be the light unto the world. If anything gets in the middle of that, do whatever you do. Tap, forgive, breathe, lay down and do some breathing, do some massage, whatever it is you do, prayer, devotion, and let it go and move into the space of being love as quickly as possible. Let go your stories. Unless your story serves you and moves you into the experience of being in alignment, then boy, share that story as much as you can. And if it does anything else, pick a different story. You make them all up anyway. And like you are right now, laugh more, have fun, and remember, you are love. Manifest in form. Let's act like it. Thank you.